Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews, chapter 4. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into this rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. And let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, what a great day and an exciting day here. Lord, the opening of the new building and all the new Sunday school classes underway. Lord, I believe that you are very, very pleased with your people, these people. Lord, I pray that you'd give them tonight what they need. We've been a busy church, especially this week with the missions conference and the extra services and the extra visiting with the new beginning with our Sunday school classes and so many things. Lord, we need to hear from you. May we not get so busy for you, we forget to listen to you. Fill our preacher with your power, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
My sermon this evening is entitled, Wasted Sermons. Wasted Sermons. You read earlier as a congregation, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You see, what a sad thing. It's sad here that that which was preached did not profit them. Of course, this reference had to do with someone that had been preached to about Jesus and that they did not choose to believe. But it says here that the word that had been preached to them did not profit them. And I want you to notice here, the fault in this case lies with the hearer. It says, but the word preached to them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So in other words, the word was preached, but the hearer was not doing the hearer's part. So somehow, somebody had preached to them, and that somebody had wasted the sermon that had been delivered to them. Preaching is to do a lot of things. For instance, Colossians 1:28 says, Whom we preach, warning every man. Preaching is to warn us. The Bible tells us that preaching is to reprove us or to rebuke us. 2 Timothy 4:12 says, Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Now, what does that mean, in season, out of season? When it's popular and when it's not. When it is liked and when it is disliked. But preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So, here we find that preaching is to warn us, and preaching is to reprove us, and preaching is to rebuke us. Preaching is to strengthen our faith. Quickly, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 10, verse number 8. Romans chapter 10, 8. Now, the Bible tells us that preaching is to strengthen our faith. Strengthen our faith. Romans 10, 8 says, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. Preaching will strengthen your faith. Preaching will reprove misbehavior in your life. Preaching will rebuke you sometimes. Preaching will warn us. Hey, we're to remember what's preached. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:2, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. The preacher's saying here, now I told you something, and you better remember it, or you will have wasted what I was trying to help you with. Listen, folks, I've got to tell you, not everything that I preach are you going to need it that day or that week, but you're going to need it someday. I wonder how many times I said to this great congregation on a Sunday morning when I was preaching about your burdens, and I said to you some right now, some of you, it's sunshiny. Some of you, everything's just hunky-dory. Everything's fine and dandy. But I said, you better remember what I'm preaching today on burdens, because yours is coming your way. Boy, so many people would come to me weeks later and say, preacher, mine's come my way. And I'll say, remember what I've preached, and because we're to remember what is preached, because if we don't remember it sometimes, then that sermon has virtually been in vain. Preaching is going to rebuke us, and it's going to reprove us and warn us and strengthen our faith. We're to remember it. Preaching helps us to live righteously. Psalm 40, verse 9 says, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips. That's what the preacher said. He said, I have not held back. I've preached righteousness. And listen, David might have thought that he had a great congregation. Well, I'd put mine up against David's. I think we have a great congregation here. And I have not refrained my lips. I'm going to preach, thus saith the Lord. But preaching, it's going to help us to live righteously. We will better understand the Scripture because of preaching. Titus 1:3 says, but hath in due times manifest his word through preaching. The word manifest means made known. It means explained. And so God tells us that's what preaching does. But I think so often we waste messages. We waste sermons. I call this message wasted sermons. One year, I was preparing. We hosted a national pastor school. Oh, anywhere between 7,000 and 8,000 preachers and assistant pastors, evangelists, and Christian school teachers and lay people would come from virtually all around the world and pack out an auditorium that was built a lot like this one. It was higher, bigger, but it wrapped around, it had this shape to it. We'd pack it out with God's servants. And I was speaking at that conference, and I had pulled out of my file about 5 or 6 sermons, and I'd looked them over, and I'd been working on them, and I was trying to figure out which one was the one God wanted me to preach. And I put this little stack of sermons on my desk, and these were the best, and none of them are any good, but it was the best of the no good ones, and I put them there, and I was praying about it, and I slipped out of my office, left my office door open a bit, went up the hallway to go to the washroom. There were people everywhere walking through the hallways in the office buildings, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. I didn't think anything of it. I went back to my room, went back to my office, sat down at my desk. I had pretty well in my mind decided which sermon I was going to preach. I reached up to grab that pile of sermons, and it was gone. I thought, oh my. I just put it down right there. I laid it down right before I went to the washroom. I thought, what if I carried those in the washroom with me? So I traced it. No, I've not left them anywhere. And somebody told me, they knocked on my door and they said, Brother Owens, I seen somebody step in your office just a moment ago and step out and leave right away. You know somebody stole those sermons? They stole those sermons. And Brother Bush, I want them back now. And to me, I mean, I was like devastated. You break into my house, you can steal anything you want, but don't take my sermons. Oh, but hey, listen, that I was devastated that someone had taken them. I'll tell you why. I never preach a sermon to give information. I preach sermons to change lives. And to me, I thought, there are all sorts of people I can't help. Somebody just, hey, if I were a mechanic, somebody just stole my toolbox. And I was devastated. I thought, what a waste. What a waste. You say, but Brother Owens, I wonder if they're going to go preach them. You ever heard Bush preach? If he's the one that stole them, it's not going to make any impact. They're still wasted outlines. I'm trying to learn the computer. I'm computer illiterate. I mean, I am stupid on a computer. My son Jeff was helping me set up my computer and everything, and I went to work on this sermon outline, and I was rolling. I mean, it was going well. I was typing along, and I had all this stuff in there and all this work I'd done on it, and I must have pushed the wrong button. because I ain't seen that baby ever again. And, well, you all laughing with me or at me? Doesn't that happen to anybody else? Come on. And I'm thinking, I'm pushing buttons and things are coming at me. It's saying, stupid, you can't find it. Nah, 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 nah. It's gone. Wasted. Wasted. I was preaching at a conference down in Florida, and I was preaching that conference with Dr. Lee Robertson. And we got done preaching, and I have to tell you, we were in the same hotel room, and we walked by. I didn't mean to. This doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. It's just something I'm remembering. You know, when you get my age, you ramble, and you know, Brother Tennis, I mean, you forget things on the announcement cards and everything. But I was in the same hotel complex with Dr. Lee Robertson, him and his wife. My hotel room was right next to theirs. And I was really honored that, I mean, they're staying right next door to me, the great Dr. Lee Robertson, and my hotel room's right next door. So I'm walking by. When I walk by, all hotel rooms on the outside have a window. I thought, well, it's after the service, and I wasn't trying to be nitty. I just glanced at that window. And Dr. and Mrs. Robertson were in their pajamas, and I saw them. I thought, oh no, I'm going to die. I've looked into the Holy of Holies. I never look in hotel windows anymore. But Dr. Robertson preached that conference, and then I flew back, and Dr. Robertson wasn't flying at that time in his life, and he started driving back, and about halfway back to Tennessee where he lived, he had parked his car and went into a gas station for a second. Somebody came out, and they stole everything out of the inside of his car. And I remember getting a call, and this is what they said to me. Someone called and said, Brother Owens, you need to pray for Brother Robertson. He is virtually beside himself. He's so upset. Somebody stole everything out of his car. I said, his wallet, his credit cards and everything? They said, yes, but he's not mentioned that. They stole his sermon outlines. And they're probably going to take them and throw them away because that won't mean anything to some thief. And I thought, what waste of a sermon. What waste. Here in Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about how the word was preached and did not profit them. I want to talk to you tonight about how we waste sermons. How do we waste sermons? Again, this is just so practical. Anybody could preach this sermon, but if you'll listen, and I won't take long, I'll hurry along, I'll tell you how we waste sermons. First of all, we sleep during the preaching. Proverbs 20, verse 13 says, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Now, let me tell you something. If you're not careful and you sleep during all the sermons that are supposed to make you a success, you're going to hurt yourself. Now, I'm not talking about somebody that might have a medical condition. I know somebody came to me and said, preacher, I struggle. I'm on a medicine, and it really, really affects me adversely. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about we stay up late and watch TV all night. Then we come to church and we give God half alertness. And it's not because we're ill. It's not because we're on medicine. It's because we stayed up all night and didn't prepare our minds for church. We stay up late on the internet. I mean, there are people who will stay on the internet until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'll advise you, and I love you, and I'm your friend, but I'll tell you, if you get too comfortable during the preaching, you may go to sleep. We've got a lot of hard-working people in here. It's probably easy for me to stay awake. I'm the one that's up here yelling and screaming and ranting and raving and walking around and throwing things. I suppose if I'd let you all do that during the service, you'd stay awake too. But we can't. But, you know, I just tell you, if you get too comfortable, if you come in, nestle in like a bird on a nest, you're liable to fall asleep. And you thought I laid the egg. But you were the one that was asleep. So we sleep. And what happens? If you sleep while the Word of God is being preached, you're wasting a sermon. Number two. I think sometimes we waste sermons because our minds are too tired. Our minds are too tired. We tend to give God whatever is left over. Do you know that in our financial giving, He asked for first fruits, not leftovers? He insisted on first fruits. Did you know that your life and your mind is more important to God than your money? Could I suggest you save some mental energy for God? Save some mental energy for God. You're tired from blogging through the night. Or hogging. What's that thing called? Some of you, you go into those chat rooms where you shouldn't be anyway. But you're tired from it. Your mind is strained from it. See, we waste sermons because our minds are too tired. We're tired from stress. We're tired from reading the Wall Street Journal. We're tired from reading a romance novel or tired from reading a sports magazine. I know people that will concentrate and give their entire energy to reading sports scores. They'll sit in church and they won't get a thing out of preaching. Again, could I suggest that we save some mental energy for the preaching in church? So how could we waste sermons? We could sleep. Our minds are too tired. Thirdly, we play during the preaching. Proverbs 15:21 says, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. Now the Bible's saying here there's somebody that's goofing off when they could have been getting wisdom. Now wisdom is destitute to them because it was made available, but they played. Somebody won't like this. And I'll not tell you who it is. I'll let the Holy Spirit take care of it. But one young man and one young lady have played in almost every service for 6 years since I've been here. The chances of their lives turning out right are almost zip. They come to church because I think they have to come to church. Anybody that ever sets with them plays during church. They play. They play, they laugh, they carry on. And their life's a mess. And I already know it. You say, why don't you correct it? I'm tired of correcting it. I'm going to ignore them and go on and hope that everybody just kind of stays away from them so they don't mess up their lives. Parents, I would be careful letting your children play all the time while we're in church. Honestly, the thing to do is to teach them how to set up and pay attention. Set up and pay attention. That's good for them to learn. Now, you don't have to worry about it just being teenagers playing in church. You have adults with their cell phones and all the cute little toys that they have playing during church. That's sad. That's very sad to me. I get reports that adults are texting back and forth during the church service. I'm against the telephone because of the gossip that goes around. But I'll just tell y'all, the cell phone, the texting, the access to the internet, it is evil, and it is destroying people. Now, if you have a cell phone, I'm glad that you do. And I have a cell phone. But I'll tell you what, folks, this is getting out of hand. We are virtually, and I see children and teenagers, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not against certain people having one, but I've got to tell you, it's got to be controlled. You say, well, I don't know how to control that thing. Man, just always remember, parents are in charge. And I know that's from the last generation. But parents are in charge. And so, what happens? We play during the preaching. We play. I'll say this. One of the people that acts up all the time during the preaching, and it's a folly to them. I'll call you down tonight just to let everybody know who you are. So, young man, you sit up and you laugh at me one more time tonight, I will call your name because I put up with it for 6 years. Try me. Try me. I'm just in the mood to do it. The Bible says, smite the scorner that the simple may beware. And I'm going to tell you, again, I'll remind you, kindness is not necessarily the presence of weakness. We sleep. Our minds are too tired. We play during the preaching. If I would have known I was going to say what I just said, I would put some humor in here to relax you so you could all breathe. But I didn't put any humor in here. And I'm thinking, what do I do now? They're all going, they're all sucking air. They're awake for the moment. What happens? How do we waste sermons? Well, I think sometimes we waste sermons, number four, because we're too preoccupied. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. I'll remind you, the word world there, it's not just talking about us being worldly and nasty like the world. It's talking about being so caught up in the world, so attached to the world's events and the world's things, that we don't have our eyes on the world to come. And so when it says, love not the world, it's don't get so attached to everything that's all about this world, but realize that there's the kingdom of God. And we're looking forward to heaven someday. And what we do on this earth, it's only for a short time. But there's a long life to live hereafter. And sometimes I think we get so busy living our lives, we're too busy to be spiritual. We're just too busy to be spiritual. So we don't absorb the preaching like we ought to absorb the preaching. So how can we waste sermons? We waste them while we sleep. We waste them when our minds are too tired. We waste them as we play during the preaching. We waste them when our minds are preoccupied. How else? Number five, and I want to help some people. I hope you'll listen to this. Sometimes we waste sermons because we're bitter. Ephesians 4:31 tells us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And let me tell you something. All those things are associated to one another. Bitterness, then it talks about wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking. Evil speaking is when you're speaking and trying to hurt people. You're attacking, hurting people. And it says, and malice, it should all be put away from you. See, here's something about preaching. You can almost read people when they're upset about something, when it starts developing into bitterness. Often people who are bitter are truth rejectors. They just get to putting up this wall. I'm mad about one thing, and you're not going to preach to me about anything else. Why? Right there. I said, well, let me preach on this over here then. No. That right there, I'm mad about that. That right there. Whether it's something that occurred in church or with me or with somebody else or outside the church, I'm mad. I'm putting a wall up. I'm not listening. I'm not in the mood of being molded. I'm not going to let anybody in. I'm mad and I'm going to stay there. And I'm hurt and I'm going to stay there. And I'm not going beyond it. Don't try to change me and don't try to push anything on me. I have watched people in this church, other churches, but in the last 6.5 years, because they were bitter, they wouldn't accept some preaching that could have changed them and made them better. Because bitter people are often truth rejectors. Bitter people have an uncanny way of associating every sermon into an issue that's attached to their bitterness. Bitterness numbs the spiritual ears. Bitter people only hear half of what's said and then decide how they'll apply it, whether that's the way it was preached or not. That's what bitter people do. I've seen it time and time again. How do we waste sermons? Because of bitterness. Number six, how do we waste sermons? Because we won't concentrate. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to think His way. We're to think His way. And so sometimes we waste sermons because we won't take the time to concentrate. Preachers today have got to work, work, work in the pulpit to keep people's attention. I mean, people today don't want to concentrate. People today don't want to read. Why? It takes concentration. People today don't want to do anything hard, don't want to study anything hard. We've become lazy in our thinking. And because of that, I might need to do what Brother Wells' son does. Brother Mike Wells' son, during the missions conference, during the day conference, he had a little mannequin doll up here and was doing some ventriloquist work, and people were paying attention to that well. Now, maybe I need to become a ventriloquist. Maybe every service, you know, we could have a puppet to keep your attention. But just so you know, I'm really supposed to preach to you, and you're supposed to listen and concentrate. I'm told to concentrate while I'm preaching. I do. I concentrate while I'm preaching. That's why I get so irritated when things interrupt the concentration. And then, so you know, while I'm concentrating while preaching, you're to concentrate while you're listening. I know that sounds dumb. And that's what you're supposed to do in school, young people. The teacher teaches and concentrates, and you concentrate on what the teacher's teaching. But we don't concentrate. Part of it is we're television spoiled. We're so used to, all the living color and all the excitement and the drama and all of that. And so if a human being that is speaking to you can't keep up with that, you just change the channel in your mind. Let me ask you a question. How bad do you want to learn? Can I tell you something that I have to do? I have to force myself sometimes to pay attention. Can I tell you how to get something out of your Bible? Make yourself. Anybody have to do that? Am I the only weirdo in the world? I sit down to read my Bible, and I got to grab me by the back of the neck and say, Jeff Owens, stop thinking about everything else, and you concentrate. That's God's Word. Now concentrate on it. Stop worrying about everything else and concentrate. And when I concentrate on the Word of God, hey, the Word of God is not shortchanging me. I'm shortchanging the Word of God. If you feel like you're getting shortchanged in the preaching around here, is there a possibility? Is there a possibility the preacher ever gets shortchanged on listening? Concentration is almost a thing of the past. Lock on to a truth. Lock on to a sermon like you do a movie from Hollywood. I got to see what's going to happen. I got to see how it's going to end. I'm going to tune in for the next episode. But I think I've got it figured out. When is the last time you felt like that when you read the book of 1 Kings? Why? You're concentrating. You're concentrating. So how do we waste sermons? We sleep. How do we waste sermons? Our minds are too tired. How do we waste sermons? We play during the preaching. How do we waste sermons? We're preoccupied, too attached to the world to be spiritual. How do we waste sermons? We're bitter. How do we waste sermons? We don't concentrate. How do we waste sermons? We're too spiritual. At least we think. See, we don't come to learn, we come to critique. We know it all. We may go talk to somebody about the sermon, but we don't necessarily live it. We don't come to grow, we come to show. I was amazed. Brother Bajent, one of the finest Christian men I've ever met in my life. Goodness. What a man. I called him this afternoon. He was on his bus route on the way home. We talked about something for just a moment. He started weeping on the phone. He said, Preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning in the sermon. God moved in me. He said, I couldn't believe the way God, what was happening inside me. And I thought, my. He'd been around for many, many years. Heard some great preaching through the years here. But still learning. Still learning. Wasn't too spiritual to get something from a younger man. I think Brother Bajan's wiser than me and more capable than me in many, many areas of life, but he let me teach him. You see, we get too spiritual. We don't come to grow, we come to show how much we know. What we do, and there's some of you, you actually do this, and I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. You tolerate me and my preaching rather than letting me spiritually lead you. And I don't know if anybody told you, if you'll look in the Bible, it's my job to lead you spiritually. I'm not demanding it. God is. There are people, you tolerate me. You tolerate me. And that's okay. That's all right. That's all right. But you're not learning what you could learn. Some of you would be a far better Christian if you'd stop tolerating and get on board and say, you know what, I want to learn that. That's good for me. But some of it goes back to you're bitter. You're bitter. We are too spiritual. Number 7, number 8, number 12. We're almost done. Hang in there. Brother Wells, he was tricky. He said, I'm closing. I'm almost finished. About 20 minutes later, I liked it. Did y'all, you got it? I thought, first time he said it, I said, wow. I was like you. I was misled, you know, like what preachers do. I mean, wow, we're going home. And then he kept preaching, and he said, get this, and I'm done. I said, nah. Somebody else sent him this CD, I'm just sure of it. How is it that you and I waste sermons? Number 8, we're too full of other things. Isaiah 44, verse number 20, the Bible says, he feedeth on ashes, and a deceived heart hath turned him aside. Here it says somebody's eating, but they're eating of ashes. What you and I do, we come and we feast on the Word of God, but sometimes if we're too full of other things, we're not hungry for the Word of God. We get full of sports, and I'm not against sports, but some people are so full of sports they don't have any room for something more. We get full of a stock market and full of a newspaper and full of everything under the sun and seemingly have no room for spiritual thinking. Again, I said it earlier, sometimes we need to spend or save a little mental energy for the things of God. Number 9, sometimes I think the sermons or messages are wasted on people who are not saved. John 10:3 says, to him, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. You know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that those that are sheep, they're born again, the sheep, the lambs of God, they're going to learn and they're going to grow. If you're not a sheep, you're not going to enjoy sheep food. I believe there are people that have been with me for 6.5 years. I'm wondering if they're saved. Now, I don't go around thinking that all the time, but my, what an attitude for 6 or 7 straight years. Lost people don't grow in the Lord. To grow in the Lord, you got to be in the Lord. What's that? You got to be saved. And you say, I just don't like the preaching around here. I feed sheep food, not goat food. I don't know what goats eat. Brother Ensign, what do goats eat? What are you laughing at? He raises goats. They eat corn and hay. All right, thank you. Oh, my. I think sometimes if somebody sits in church lost, all the time that you're feeding sheep food, they're not growing. Why? They're not spiritual. They don't have the Holy Spirit within them. I don't want anybody to question your salvation. But if you got it, then let it be proven in your behavior. I'm done. Number 10. I learned that. Sometimes I think we just don't want to be spiritual. We don't come to church for God, but we come for ourselves. We don't come to church for preaching, but for our friends. We don't come to church for preaching, but we've got our variety of reasons. We come to church not to really to be spiritual, just to be around spiritual things. We don't. I believe there are people actually don't know what else to do, where else to go. Why not go there? No, I want you to come. I heard a guy say one time, "Well, I'll tell you what, if you don't like it, you can leave." And I'm not like that, and I don't treat people that way. Preachers say that sort of thing, but I'll tell you this. I heard a guy say, "Look, if you don't like it, you can leave and open up your pew space for a soul winner." And that's okay. He can say what he wants to say, but I'll tell you, As long as you won't create disunity in the church, you can sit there as long as you want. Because I've got a chance at reaching you. I've got a chance of reaching you and helping you. You wouldn't believe the looks I get sometimes. I can handle those looks. That's okay. That's good. And don't cause disunity. You can hate me and despise me. Just don't cause disunity. And you can sit there. You can sit there now until Jesus comes. I'll keep throwing the food out. But listen, I think sometimes we come to church and we don't know why we're coming. Do you know why we don't cancel preaching for a cantata? Because we come to church to hear the preaching of the Word of God. That's why. Now, we'll have a cantata, too. We'll do both. We'll have music. But the whole service is not all about music. It's going to be about the preaching of the Word of God. What is the Word of God? That there's the written Jesus. He must take preeminence. And that's why we do it that way. Wasted Jesus. We're wasting what He is. And how do we do it? The Bible said in Hebrews 4, but the word preached did not profit them. Later on it says, them that heard it. There was a problem with the hearing. We waste it by sleeping. We waste it because our minds are too tired. We waste it because we play. We waste it because we're preoccupied. We waste it because we're bitter. We waste it because we'll not concentrate. We waste it because we're too spiritual. We come to critique instead of grow. We waste it because we're full of other things. Sometimes it's wasted because we're not saved. And then, if we just don't want to be spiritual, nobody can make you be spiritual. One of the biggest frustrations for a parent in raising a child is when a child does not want to be spiritual, there's nothing a mom and dad can do. And yeah, I know you can pray, and I know all of that, but if the child's not going to do it, the child's not going to do it. And as some of you that are raising little ones right now, you might just want to wait a few years before you can become ultra critical of somebody that had a teenager that struggled. You'll find out there comes a point when a human being can do what a human being's going to do. But you can't make somebody be spiritual. Probably one of the hardest things in the world. I sometimes just want to fix somebody. I want to fix them so bad. There comes a point when I've just got to realize I've done what I know to do. But we waste the preaching. I don't want it to happen to me, and I don't want it to happen to you. Let's learn a lesson from these little simple tidbits about why the word could